You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. And we got Delaney Haynes, Deering, by way of Putnam, by way of what was supposed to be NYIT, and now Southern Connecticut State,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Delaney Haynes, what's going on, Delaney?
Nothing much. How are you doing?
I'm good. So, as I mentioned, it's been quite a journey to get to where you're at now, right? So,
right.
COVID has affected you more than most folks. So, yeah, what's it been like? And I'm guessing it's kind of like a relief because now you know where you're actually going, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I was supposed to go to NYIT, like, the first week of September, and then they told us, like, literally a week before that athletics is, like, canceled for the next 2 years minimum. So, I don't know. I mean, we found out through, like, Instagram posts. Like, we hadn't even found out from, like, the team or the coaches yet. So, that was kind of, like, what do I do now, you know? But I think a lot of opportunities opened up from that, and one door closes, another one opens, I guess.
Yeah, it must have been crazy for a little bit, though, right? Because I'm guessing, like, you're ready to go, you had your school all picked out, and then to find out through social media, of always, and then
having it was practice. Literally the day I registered for classes, too, found out that I'm just not going to be going there, so it's tough.
Did the coaches eventually reach out at all? Like,
They told us they had a announcement for us, like an important one, but then before they got to that, everyone had already found out through like Instagram and other players and stuff.
Probably could have been handled a little bit better, I'm guessing. I'm guessing they probably would like to roll that one back and do that one again if possible, but it all worked out. Going to Southern Connecticut State now, so that's all lined up for you. Were saying, well, you're going to be taking classes in starting second semester and then be good to go from there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go back and try to figure out how you kind of got here. Because I mentioned up the top, from Portland, Deering grad, a couple stops on the way to get to where you're at. So let's go back. So are you Portland born and raised?
Yeah.
And, where's the basketball love come from? Is it something that you just love from day one? Is it something that you were kind of surrounded by in the family? Or how did the passion for hoops happen?
I mean, my dad played when he was younger, and then my family's not really a big basketball family, but I don't know, it's the only sport I ever played, so since I was young, I only played basketball like year round, so that's what I got into like that.
Were you a late bloomer, or were you good right off the bat?
I was good right off the bat, I guess. I kind of picked up on it.
Yeah.
Only thing I ever wanted to do, so.
And you grew up in the right spot for it. Like, Southern Maine is just a hotbed for hoops, especially in Maine. So, like, what were some of the things you were into earlier? Like, were you into the AAU thing at an early age? Did that come later on? Or what was, like, your early organized basketball experience?
Definitely did, like, rec basketball here and there when I was young. And then because my dad, him and a few other people, they had started, like, the Blue Wave program. They started that a while ago. And so that's what I played like my whole life, was just Blue Wave when it started to when I can't play anymore. And then, yeah, it's good to always have the AU program, the gym always open. It's nice.
You're Blue Wave till you die, right? You still rep Blue Wave super hard.
Yeah.
Okay. And so from there, like, how'd you wind up at Deering? Is it just that was a neighborhood school?
I was like right down the street from Deering, like walking distance. So I always knew I was going to go there, went there.
Yeah.
All 4 years.
Did you follow high school hoops like growing up? Like, were you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you go to games and stuff like that. Who were some of the people you liked growing up? You must have like some role models. Like, oh man, I can't wait to be like this. I want to do like what she's doing.
Oh, like Deering?
Yeah, or just in general. Like I said, you're in a good area of just a ton of great players. So.
Yeah, I'd say like when I was in like middle school, like everyone that was in high school, the basketball was just good. Like when it went from like all the schools, it was just good competition, and that was my goal, was just to play varsity as a freshman. That's what I did. So
what else coming into high school, obviously, like if you're a freshman, you want to make varsity, did that. What were some of the other expectations and goals you set for yourself? Was it you know, make the playoffs, be recognized, like what was
yeah
coming in?
Definitely, I wanted, my biggest goal is to win a state championship, but we never got there, sadly. But like personal goals, I had goals to be on like first team, like All-SMA or whatever, or rookie team from freshman year to senior, just go up the ladder. And that's what I did. My senior year, though, was unfortunate because that's when I broke my wrist, like the second game in. And I missed, like, the whole season. It was tough. That was tough.
So, Daring, what's the Daring Hoops culture on the girls' side? I've had a couple of the guys on, and we've talked in depth about Daring Boys Hoops. How about Daring Girls Hoops? What's the culture like at Daring?
It's good. Like, it used to be – they used to be really good before I even went there. They had a few state championships, and they had some good players come up through there, like Tasia Titherington, Amanda Brett, like Abby Ramirez. They were, I played with them for like a year or two, and then I don't know. It's good basketball over there. And like Coach Murphy, he's always been the coach. He always just pushed everyone, taught discipline. It was good.
And then also along with just a good culture there, we talked about the culture down there in Southern Maine. Like, talk about like the schedule you guys play. Like, no easy games, right? Like every night it's a good team, good players. Like, what's it like? It's just, it must be like a grind.
Yeah, it's good competition. Like, it's not – nothing's easy. Like, every game, maybe a few games, you're like, sure, you're going to win. But then most of the games, it's just, like, whoever plays the hardest. Like, it literally could be – come out either side, you know. It's just who wants it more. That's what it was a lot of the time.
And then along with this AAU culture, it seems like everybody's friends. Everybody hangs out off the court and stuff like that. But whenever you get to high school, you get to actually go head-to-head.
Definitely.
Super competitive type and just out for blood, and like even if it was like Blue Wave teammates and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. No matter who you're playing.
Who you like going up against? Was there someone in particular or like a school in particular that kind of got you ready to go? Like, oh man, I can't wait for this game.
Portland. During Portland game was always, it's always a good game. Like girls and boys, it was always doubleheader. It was always the environment was always there, like lots of fans cheering, and it was good. You know, it was always a good game between both the girls and boys.
In a game like that, like a crazy environment like that, did you prefer going in as the road team or you like being at home? Like you like being like the enemy in hostile territory, or do you like having the fan support and being on your home court?
I like playing home, at home court. But then when we play Portland, I just like playing at the Expo. I like the big court, the big gym vibe, you know?
Bright lights, all the eyes on you, all that. Random question when it comes to Daring Hoops. You guys had Adidas, right?
Huh?
You guys had Adidas jerseys at Daring?
Adidas? No.
Was it?
I think it was Nike.
Okay, never mind. That scratches the question. Never mind. I was going somewhere with that, but we'll gloss over that one. So you mentioned the big lights of the tournament. What was like the most success you guys had during your 4 years there? Obviously, you got to play in the Civic Center. So, what was the team success like during your time?
I mean, I think it was sophomore year. We were literally like one basket away from state championship, or not like winning, but going to states. And that kind of set the tone for the next year. Like, we're all like hungry. We want it, but. I don't even remember junior year how far we got. But then senior year, that was when we was like eighth seed or something going into the playoffs. And then we beat, I think it was the second seed, and then we made it to semifinals, and then we couldn't close it against Oxford Hills. But Oxford Hills, that's a team we could never beat. I don't think we beat them 1 year in my 4 year, one game.
They were pretty good though, right? I mean, they got a couple state championships, some good players over there.
Yeah, they were tough.
You got a, looking back on it, you got a loss that hurts the most? There's one game you wish you could have back?
Yeah, probably, honestly, I don't know. I think the game where I broke my wrist would be lost. That was, like, a game for me that, like, I'll always remember because we had it. I thought we were going to win. I was doing good. And then I'm out. And it all went downhill from there. And that was just tough loss for me. And then I couldn't play for the rest of the season, so.
Yeah, so that's where I wanted to go next. Like, what was it like? Was that like your first major injury as a player?
Yeah.
Well, what's it like dealing with that adversity, like just having the game taken away from you?
Especially the second game of my senior year, it was It was tough. I mean, I was at practice. I was just dribbling on my left hand with my cast on, but sitting up on the bench and having to like watch the team from the bench, that is hard. Like, you just want to get there. You can't do what you want to do. But I mean, it was, I think I was at like 10 games, but I came back for like the last four games, maybe. But it took away most of the season.
You have a cast, or was it just like a little splint you were wearing?
Oh, I had a cast, hard cast.
At any point, were you contemplating just taking a knife to the cast and just taking that thing off and being like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna just play"?
Yeah, actually, like, I wanted. I remember, I think it was like one of my first practices back, or I could practice without my cast, and someone passed me the ball, and I literally couldn't even catch it because it was like a mental thing, like my hand, like I just couldn't even bend my wrist.
Yeah,
I started bawling my eyes out. I was like, "Oh my god, I'm never gonna be able to do this again." But I guess I overcame that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of times when people get hurt, they take that time to kind of work on other parts of their game. It's kind of tough with a broken wrist, but what were you doing during that time? Like, obviously you were still involved, like still going to games and stuff like that. What did you do to get better during that time?
I learned how to shoot with my left hand pretty good for a little bit. That's literally all. I was on the sidelines, at the side hoops, just like shooting around my left hand, dribbling around, running. I did laps, a lot of laps just to stay in shape. Rode the bike in the trainer's office.
Yeah.
But it was tough.
So here's a great question for you. So a lot of times you see it, you know, there's that person who's hurt or ineligible, can't play, just kind of on the sideline. And you see it during warm-ups, and there's different types. There's a type that's kind of vocal, kind of like talking to the players and stuff like that. There's a type who like to show off and dribble and maybe shoot around a little bit and act real cool. There's all kinds of different people when it comes to when they can't play, but they're still on the sideline. What kind of teammate were you when you couldn't play? But you were there, obviously, wanting to play.
Yeah, I was under the hoop during warm-ups. I was, like, trying to, like, get everyone hyped up and on the bench. I was at the front of the bench with the coaches, and they would ask for my input. They would get me involved somehow, like, or I'd tell my teammates, like, what to do better, what to do next, or, like, how to help them. I definitely was vocal on the bench. I wasn't going to sit there.
Were you trash talking? Were you trash talking to the team?
No.
not your style?
No, not really. I mean, not in high school, but when I went to Putnam, I kind of got like a little...
You got a little edge to you? Okay. So a lot of times, like when the game gets taken away or when you got to kind of sit there, you view the game differently than when you're a player, right? You look at things that you wouldn't might not normally look at normally, right? So at any time during like being injured, did it kind of open your eyes? Like maybe like one day I could be a coach. Like I see the game a little bit differently. Like I see this, I see that. Did it kind of open your eyes up to that maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I thought maybe I could. I was pretty good on the bench too. Like I was drawing up plays. I don't know. It felt pretty natural, but I'd rather be playing than on the bench for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope that never happens.
Yeah. So obviously you mentioned you came back and got to play a little bit towards the end. What was it like going out like that? Or what was it like coming back hurt? Like, was it like some rust? Or did you kind of come back and just kind of blend in with no problems?
It was kind of difficult just, like, having to jump right back into things. And, like, if my shots weren't falling, I would get frustrated, start, like, just blaming it on my injury or whatever. But it eventually came. I just had to – it was just a setback.
It was a shooting wrist, right? On the right wrist?
Yeah, right here, yeah.
Did it you have any long-term effects? Did it mess up the form? Will the form still look good?
Yeah, it's fine now. I mean,
good to go?
Yeah.
So you mentioned Putnam. So you took a different route than what most folks do, especially around here. You see like maybe a little bit here and there, but you went the prep route for a year. So what was the idea behind that? What was the thought process?
We definitely had a lot to do with basically missing my whole senior year, because I had been talking to school, supposed to come see me, come watch. But unfortunately, like, they couldn't because I wasn't playing. So I thought maybe – and I was also young for my age, too. Like, I graduated when I was 17. And so I didn't turn 18 until, like, that September. So I was – I just thought maybe taking, like, a post-grad year. It was definitely a, like, option I had to consider, you know. And then it came around that I just – that's what I wanted to do. That's where it fit. And in the end, it all worked out, but –
So how'd you wind up with Putnam? Because, I mean, it's kind of like the college recruitment. Well, yeah, kind of like college recruitment where you got to kind of pick the school you want to go to. So how'd you pick Putnam?
I think it was like sophomore or junior year, I had the Putnam coach had reached out and see and asked if I was interested in coming to like prep school for my next, for my last 2 years or whatever. And I had, I just stayed home. I didn't want to do that. And then I kind of revisited that school when I was like, I need something, somewhere to go. And then, yeah, it all worked out. And that's where I ended up going.
Well, what was your post-grad experience like? Obviously, first time being away from home too, right? So that's an adjustment. But well, looking back on the experience, what do you take away from it?
It was a great experience. There's I don't even know. Like, I met a lot of great people from all over the world. There's only like 150 kids at the school, and they're all from different countries. Like, my roommates were from what was it, Spain and Colombia or something. I don't even know. But it was definitely a great experience. Like, and the basketball is great. Like, it's not just Maine basketball. It's players from all over New England to playing together. And it's a different feel. And like, you're playing better competition. You're going to bigger tournaments, playing in front of like good schools.
Like, yes, so that's what I was gonna say. Like, the season itself kind of mirrors more like maybe what you get through AAU, right? Like, getting actually travel places and go to tournaments and stuff like that. So where were some of the places you guys played?
We only had like 5 home games too. We went to DC, North Carolina, just New York a bunch of times. I think we went to Pennsylvania. I'm trying to think. I don't know. We were kind of all over the place.
So you mentioned when you got to Deering, you kind of came in as a freshman. Your goal was to start, get minutes and stuff like that. So obviously when you go someplace else, you got to kind of start over again. Like, what was that adjustment like, kind of going to a new school, new players, having to kind of earn your spot? Like, was it tough to adjust to, or was it a pretty seamless transition for you?
At first, it was kind of tough just because everyone was just good. Like, the whole team's good. Like, there's really not any bad players on the team. But we would do like runs every day, just pick up before the season. And I think that's kind of what made me stand out, was because I would play really good during the runs. And so, and then like practices, I think I was like 6th or 7th man. I think I only started like 1 game, but I came off the bench and I had an impact, definitely.
What's the social experience like at school? I mean, you got all these kids that kind of come from all over the world, all over the country to go there. And you guys are kind of,
right,
on a campus type thing, right? So what's that whole social experience like?
Yeah, it's a really small school. It's only like 3 buildings, and I'm pretty sure there's only like 50 girls in the school. So like, we all shared a dorm, and so like, all the girls, we kind of all knew each other. Like, we all lived together, and I guess we were in Putnam, Connecticut. There was really not much to do, so like, we were kind of forced just to like hang out with each other, like go to the gym, walk around this small town. It was good though. Everyone got along. It was good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because like, small town, small campus, like, there's not much to do. So I'm guessing you kind of just lock yourself in the gym and just kind of work on your craft, right? So obviously the goal was to go play college ball. Like, what were your goals? Like, did you have a goal? Like, I want to go play at this level, or I want to play here or there? Like, back in high school when you were starting to look ahead, what were your goals?
Oh yeah, my goals were definitely to play in college, just in general. But then, like, getting more specific, I wanted to always play, like, at the NE10, like, D2, NE10 level. And then NYIT, they're in the ECC, so it's not the same conference as Southern, but that was always my goal, and I think it all worked out. Now I'm going to be playing in the NE10, which is, I mean, it took a few setbacks, but it's worth it.
Yeah, so let's talk about the first college commitment, because obviously that changed. Oh, yeah. How'd you narrow down to them? And like, were there other schools looking at you? And what was that process like, being recruited, having schools wanting you to go there versus you kind of finding like Putnam to go to? What was the recruitment process like for you, and how'd you narrow down to NYIT originally?
For that, at Putnam, I wasn't really talking like heavily to a bunch of schools, but like, NYIT was like the one school I was talking to like consistently, you know. That's what kind of like sparked my interest, is like seeing their interest in me, and like seeing that they believe in like what I have to offer, you know. And I went and visited their campus, and all the coaching staff was like, I loved all the coaches, the players, they were all so nice, and like, just the environment was good. It's unfortunate that they had to suspend athletics, but It would have been fun. But
yeah, and you would have been teammates with one of your former rivals, right? You talked about Oxford Hills kind of being your roadblock. You would have been there with Julius. So what was that like? Was there going to be a problem if you guys had both shown up there? Or were you ready to put that stuff aside and just hoop?
I was looking forward to playing with her. She's a great player and like someone you'd want on your team, of course. And I thought we would have some fun together at school and just hoop would be fun. But now I'll be playing against her again.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Oh, we mentioned how NYT decided to handle business and it kind of left you scrambling like at a terrible time too, right? So not much time to kind of figure things out. What was like the second recruitment process? Like at this point, did you kind of have to like reach out to schools or were they reaching back out to you once they found out the situation or how'd that work?
Yeah, I had like a lot of schools just reach out after that news kind of went and everyone started seeing it. I had a lot of schools. I had a few like JUCO schools, Florida, like school in Tennessee. There's a bunch of random schools, like, but Southern Connecticut, they reached out and it was like a Zoom call. It was always on Zoom. They gave me like a virtual tour of the school. They told me what they had to offer and it was great, but that's the best opportunity I got out of that.
So you had to commit, right? You had to commit to this place without even visiting the school.
I've never been there.
So you still have never been there. So like the first time you'd be there, or like the first day you actually show up for like classes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But I'm moving. Yeah. So, but it's a nice campus. So I've heard good things.
That's good. Also be another Mainer down there. Logan's going to be down there. So we got a couple of Mainers down there at Southern Connecticut State.
Yeah.
So how long did that whole process take you to find the new school? Because I know like it all kind of happened at once and it was I'm guessing a stressful time.
Probably like a week or two. I kind of had to like make a decision. Like these schools were like, okay, like we need to like finalize this. And I'd be like, okay. Probably like 2 weeks tops. But it was a stressful 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet.
With no place to go.
Yeah. But now you got that all squared away and situated. And we talked about it before we started recording, like what you're doing now. So for like folks out there, like what do you got planned here? So, I mean, should have been high school, post-grad, and then off to college. But then there's a couple roadblocks. Like, how are you spending this year?
Right now, I'm just working and working out. That's it. I'm just getting ready for – I'm not going to be able to play this year, but I'll be able to practice. And, I don't know, it should be interesting.
Classes start. You said you're going to start second semester, right?
Yep.
You must be itching just to be around the team again and like practice and just have that structure and stuff like that. What about from the school side? Like, what's it like just all of a sudden, like going through, you know, grades K through senior year of high school and then like a year post-grad and like now it's like remote learning, all these online classes and stuff like that. Like, is that a tough adjustment or do you enjoy it?
I mean, I haven't even like done any online stuff yet. Like, I haven't even taken any classes since like the spring. So like when I have to bounce back into school, I think it might be a little tough to be honest because I've been out of it for so long, but I'm sure I'll be fine.
How do you stay ready academically? You reading? You doing anything at all to stimulate the mind right now? Like, what have you been doing during the pandemic? Like, have you picked up any new hobbies or what's it been like for you to kill the time?
Literally, I haven't been doing anything new or out of ordinary. I've just been working out, sleeping,
just living the life.
Yeah, I'm anxious to get to school, to be honest. Just waiting.
You mentioned that you kind of, you know, went to the Blue Wave program and you're a Blue Waver for life. So what are you doing now? I see you working with a lot of kids and stuff like that. So what do you got going on to kind of pass the time?
It's at the it is the Blue Wave program that I'm working at too in the summer. That I did summer camp. It's like all day, every day. It's kind of draining, little kids.
Kids are tough, right?
Yeah. Now I'm doing Blue Wave after school program. It's pretty light.
How hard is it to find a run right now?
Oh, I've been invited to a few, but like the ones I've been invited to, it's either like I don't have a ride or like it doesn't work out with my schedule. But I wish there was more runs like closer to here, to my house, because there's not that many like girls around my area who want to like go play.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you would think there'd be a bunch of them. Like, you guys are on the same boat, and there's such a good collection of talent down there. It'd be easy to find a run, but no one wants to hoop.
I don't even know. I guess not. I mean, people are at school too. So, I mean, me and Sarah Talon, we always like link up in the gym, try to play like 2-on-2 against some random people. But
you guys take on all comers. You guys scared of anybody?
Now we're taking everybody.
All right. So I'm glad you mentioned Sarah, because that's where I was going next. So you're still around the Blue A program. So you see some of these kids coming up. We talk about all the great talent there is in the state, especially in the girls' side. Give me some names. I'll do a little thing on the Instagram page. We got next Wednesdays where I try to highlight someone who's up and coming. Give me a couple names for up and comers that are gonna make some noise here shortly.
I mean, you already know Sarah Talon. Everybody knows Sarah Talon. Who else? I'm trying to think. Up and comers? I don't even know that many young. Cause like I graduated like 2 years ago.
Okay, so how about this? Just who's nice? Who's nice right now? Who got game
right now?
Yeah.
Like in Maine or they at college?
In Maine. Anyone.
People who I always play, the like, toughest come out of Maine. Mackenzie Holmes, Anna DeWolf. Like, everyone knows these names, so yeah. You've already done them.
Yeah.
Grace Martin, Faith. That's just Amanda, Kabantu, Jamina, Davina. There's a lot of good talent. It's just, I don't know. It's never.
You just mentioned a bunch of your classmates, the class of 2019, which I had highlighted too. You want to go ahead and just state your piece? Like, is that the best class? Is that the best class?
Is it the best class?
2019. What do you think? You wanna make that claim?
It's up there.
It was deep. I didn't realize how many girls were in that class.
Yeah.
You get to play in the McDonald's game. I'm guessing you were there for McDonald's weekend, right?
Uh-huh.
What was that like? What was your McDonald's experience like?
It was fun playing against all the best talent in the state. Like, it was fun, definitely. I'm trying to remember who was on my team. Because I know Anna DeWolf wasn't on my team. Because I don't think I was on the North team, and so there was a bunch of random names, like, not in my class, you know?
It's so weird how, like, Deering and Portland, I think they're considered North, right? They're, like, class double North, and, like, but, like, some South Portland is South and stuff like that. Like, it's crazy the way they realigned it, but.
Right, it is crazy.
What's your mentality whenever you show up to an All-Star game? Are you off of blood? Like, are you just super competitive, and, like, when the ball gets rolled out, you're going to go at it? Or, like, do you just kind of back off a little bit, like, depending on the type of game?
I mean, I'm not going to go, like, crazy in All-Star game. I'm trying to have fun, you know, make it, all like, right, something to remember. I'm still going to get my buckets, but I'm just going
to. Got to always do that.
Yeah.
Before we get up out of here, just want to hit on a couple of random topics. It seems like your shoe game is pretty good. You got a decent shoe game. So what are your top five pairs? Either that you own or just your top five favorite pairs ever.
Top five favorite pairs. Whew. That I don't own. I want to get. There's so many shoes I need to get. Like, I don't even. I don't know. Do you know what Dunks are? I think that's like my number one. I want Dunks, like low Dunks. But the prices, they're looking pricey. And then I like 11s, whether it's low, high, just like the 11s. Favorite, I think the favorite shoe that I own are probably like my fives. Those five? Yeah, fives. The Bel Air alternative fives.
I want to get a pair of fives. That's my next pair of shoes I'm going to get right there.
Yeah, those are comfy.
Yeah.
They're comfy. I need to get a lot more shoes. I just
luckily you're working right now. Luckily you're working in the meantime, so it's time to put some money away and get some kicks.
Right, exactly.
How about favorite player? Favorite pair to play in?
Favorite pair to play in?
Yeah.
My Damon Lillard's, my threes.
Okay.
I like Adidas for basketball shoes is my thing.
Okay. Last random question. You mentioned you and Sarah like to team up and go 2-on-2. If you guys go head to head, who's going to win that 1-on-1 matchup? She was just queen of the court at the top 30 camp. You guys go at it.
We go 1-on. We played 1-on-1 plenty of times. I think most of the times I come out on top.
There we go.
but she gives me a good game. It's a good game. Now that you bring that up, I'm going to have to play her soon because I haven't in a while.
Someone's got to get that on Instagram Live. We got to see that. Someone need to tape that next time you guys play one-on-one. That'll get some good traction right there. Make that happen. Before we get up out of here, I always give my guests a chance to say a little piece or anything you want to say at all. Like, this is your opportunity before we get up out of here. Whatever it is you got, anything at all.
I don't even know. Put me on the spot. To you or to anybody?
Anybody. Just this is your chance to say anything you want to anybody before we get up out of here, or nothing at all. You could pass. You could pass the rock.
I'll say thank you. If you're still listening, thank you for listening. Be sure to come back to this Big Time Hoops podcast, because you'll be coming out with some good podcasts, the bangers. And that's all I have to say.
There we go. Perfect. Perfect plug.
Thank you.
Big Time, the podcast. Make sure everyone's checking it out. Real quick, are you a music or movie person?
Music.
All right. Do you consider yourself like a good, like, you got good taste?
Yeah.
How about like top five songs on the playlist right now, or like artists? Like, give us five artists out there.
All right. Five artists I listen to. My favorite, will always be my favorite, is Lil Durk. And then Polo G. Who else? Who's on top right now? Toosie. I don't know if you guys listen to that, but Young Boy. And fifth. Who's my fifth? Cash Page. Those are my five artists right there.
I can't get behind Polo G. I keep trying and I can't. I can't do it.
You don't like it? You don't like him?
I don't care for it. I don't know. I'm also getting older. I'm at that point too, where like a lot of the younger guys, I'm like, I'm trying. I'm still trying, but it's good. Right. No. What I'm gonna have to do is have you on my other podcast. I got a music podcast. I might have you come through and guest host. You give me 18 tracks, I'll mix it. We put it out, be a little fire mix right there.
I'm down. All right.
Thank you to Delaney for coming through. We've been trying to make this happen for a little while here. I mean,
yeah,
make it happen. So it's been a journey, just like your journey to get to Southern Connecticut State. But thank you to Delaney for coming through. That's going to do it for this week's episode, ladies and gentlemen, of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. Make sure you're checking out all the previous episodes out there, wherever you get your podcast. And we'll be back next week with another Big Time episode of Big Time Hoops. See ya.